Hear a difference.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Let's see here. Right. Page out here. Well, I don't need to do that right this second. I need to go back and talk to Becky first because she's hanging on with another question calling from Dallas. Becky, what else can I do for you?
I saw on your library topics on your website that a treatment for toenail fungus was to soak them in a cornmeal and water bath solution. And I have significant toenail fungus on my large toe and my right foot and another toenail. And I've soaked it two different times, and I'm hopeful that there's going to be some improvement. I think maybe there is some improvement. But how often do you recommend that a person do that to get the toenail fungus under control and to keep it under control?
Well, that came about years ago when one of the listeners called in and said, well, we've heard you talk about using cornmeal for fungus on plants for a long time, and we've used it and it's worked great, but we've stumbled into something that you may not know about. And they told me that they both had soaked their feet in a slurry of cornmeal, and it had solved their problem with one soaking. I've had other people tell me they've had to do it five or six times before it finally did some good. The thing that probably makes it work a little bit better is to soak the cornmeal in some warm water. It's more comfortable, for one thing, if you do it in the winter or whatever. And that tends to kind of activate the trichoderma in it, which probably is exactly what's helping with toenail fungus, just like it helps with plants. So I don't know what to tell people as far as how many times it takes. If you look at the library entry, did you say you had already done that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yep. There's, I think, unless it's been changed, there's several reports in there from people who have used it in different ways. We've had people report taking care of warts on their livestock and just all kinds of crazy things that cornmeal can do. But the most common one that people have reported to us is just soaking their feet in cornmeal. And I think the ones that have had good success with it do it while they're watching television, and they leave their feet in there for quite a while. We've had other people who had psoriasis and things like that on their skin, on their elbows and all, and they told me that they made it into a poultice and taped it on there and left it on, you know, so it stayed moist against the skin rashes, and it did some good in that case too.
Okay.
Don't have a definite answer for you because it seems to vary from person to person, but in several cases, the people soak their feet one time with a warm cornmeal slurry and water mixture, and it solved the problem with one soaking. Other people have had to do it several times.
Huh. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate the call. Yeah, if you're hearing that for the first time and you're like, what the heck is that all about? It's just one of the many things that we talk about here in addition to plants. And then another one that comes up a lot and hadn't come up lately, but people that think they need to use some kind of toxic chemical on their kid's head if head lice shows up, which is, you know, happens, can happen to anybody. You don't need any toxic chemical. In fact, I strongly, strongly recommend that you don't use anything toxic, especially on children's skin. It just soaks, you know, right in through the skin. It's a very efficient way to put it into their bloodstream and affect their liver and all that kind of thing. Plus the fact apple cider vinegar will work just as well or better. You can use any kind of vinegar. You can use a white vinegar or whatever you want to use. But the apple cider vinegar not only will take care of head lice and other things like that, it's also good for the skin. I usually rinse after taking a shower with apple cider vinegar, and then, you know, wash it off, of course. But I think it is good for the skin just in general. Let's see what I need to do. Mike, hang on a minute. I'll get right to you. Telephone number, by the way, is 866-444-3478. Oh, I know what I needed to tell you. We've got the two-for-one deal continuing because we've had really good response to that. We had the last several weeks, we've had a lot of response on books in general, especially the organic lawn care book that I did, one of the most recent books that I've done. Sold a bunch of those through Torque, and we really appreciate that. If you want to do the course, we've got this deal where you sign up for one of our online courses, which is 15 chapters. You've got to take a test at the end of each chapter. I teach the whole thing, and it's kind of fun for me. It was a lot of fun because I got to use a lot of the slides, a lot of the photography that I don't get to use as much in the books because you're just limited for space and, you know, the cost issues and all that. Well, the online course, I stand there and use my slides. I can use many, doesn't make any difference how many slides I use. So I was able to use a lot of photography that I've done in the past I've never been able to use before, and it helps with the instruction, I think, quite a bit. But the deal we've got is that you buy one of the courses, and you can identify a friend, and we will send them one free. So it's basically a two-for-one deal. You can talk to them, make a deal, and split the cost if you want to. But basically it was set up so that you could give a course to somebody that maybe couldn't afford it, or you wanted to help get into organics, a neighbor, a family member, or something like that. So all you got to do is just sign up for the course and identify who you want the free one to go to. And we're keeping that around because we've had a lot of response to it, and it seems to be helping quite a few folks. My books, I've got a bunch of them. I've written 15 different books, and the difference on my books is that they're competently written to tell you how to avoid Roundup, 2,4-D, toxic chemicals in general, 7-Dust, for example, Carbaryl products. We don't recommend any of those things, and we talk about what you can do to build soil health. So, number one, you don't have pest problems popping up in the first place. All my books, the online course, and everything we do, you know, revolves around this basic philosophy. And the main thing that we try to get across to people is that the reason that we recommend it is that it works better in every way, and including from a financial standpoint. There's a lot of misconceptions about the natural organic program. One of the biggest ones that I still hear about from people who can't come up with any other argument, they say that they don't recommend the natural organic techniques because they don't recommend the home brews that don't have any university research behind the techniques and the products. Well, some of the home brews that we do recommend are in that category, and they work great, and I'll always recommend them to a degree. But one of the things we've done, especially through Torque and the research we've done there, is to come up with products and recommendations and techniques that do have university research and do have EPA labeling and all that. So in every category that I talk about, whether it's insect control or disease control or weed control or fertilization or soil amendments or whatever it is, we have recommendations that have full university research. The funny thing is that one of the universities that uses that argument against me all the time is A&M. And A&M is a specific university that has some of the research behind some of the things that I recommend. They've stuck it in a drawer somewhere and don't recommend it, but they do have it. And we talk about those kind of things on Torque. But it doesn't make any difference to me whether you use a home brew that's totally made out of your kind of amendments that you have at home, or whether you go to one of the great stores that sells the natural organic products and you buy a product that has proper labeling and university research behind it and the whole thing. So you can go either way you want to go. My books are also on specific subjects. I've written a book on trees. I've written a book on herbs. I've done one on insects with Malcolm Beck. Covers beneficial insects and also the pests and what to do about them with the natural organic approach. We also have the Organic Manual, which is the latest book that we've done that goes into the most detail about the latest things that I recommend. So wherever you are, from Maine to California, the books will help you that I've written. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this. Does your garden have planting insurance? It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Do you need hand sanitizer? Real-Time Pain Relief is making hand sanitizer to help during the COVID-19 crisis. This is no ordinary hand sanitizer. Real-Time Hand Sanitizer plus Skin Conditioner contains 70% alcohol to kill 99.99% of germs, and it's infused with nature's ingredients to deliver skin conditioning benefits, even as you clean. Use code DIRTDOCTOR with the purchase of Real-Time Hand Sanitizer for a free gift. To order, go to RTPR.com. That's RTPR.com.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic insect and pest control? Pure Grows Bug Stop is a blend of natural plant oils that controls mites, scale, whiteflies, aphids, tent caterpillars, and beetles. Bug Stop delivers rapid knock down and kill and is safe to use around plants, pets, people, and beneficial insects. Ask for Pure Grows Bug Stop in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4, spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It's not always easy for women to achieve better health, especially these days. The key is to work smarter, not harder. Be wise about weight loss and workouts. Eat strategically and take your supplements. I'm best-selling nutrition author Kat James. I've learned firsthand that probiotics are key to women's health. They protect your digestion, your immune system, your skin. They support balanced hormonal levels. And very important for both women and men, they counter the buildup of bad bacteria and yeast in our bodies. Researchers have even found that probiotics promote a more positive mood and mental sharpness due to the gut-brain axis. The one I take? Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. It's a superior formula with prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics, a smart advantage in these challenging times. Find Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics through Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other natural health retailers, also available online.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let's go to Midlothian and talk to Mike right now. Hey, Mike.
Hey. I've got some vincas that are just dying, like, overnight. I think it's a sudden death virus or whatever.
Are we talking about the periwinkles or the ground cover?
Probably. Yeah, no, they're vincas, V-I-N. I mean, it's the plants that are growing everywhere right now. V-I-N-C-A.
Okay, but they're flowers.
Yes, sir.
Not the. There's a ground cover vincas reason I'm asking. Both of them suffer kind of a similar kind of things. There is a disease called Phytophthora that hits the vinca, and the flowers, the vinca flowers, the larger ones, have always had a little bit of a problem with that. It's fungal, and it attacks the stem, and the stem just kind of shrivels up, and that stem dies away. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Yes, really quick.
Yeah, it happens fast. The cornmeal, like we talked earlier in the show, put on both as a liquid after soaking it in water and straining out the solids and spraying a cornmeal tea on the plants is quite effective on that. Even faster and easier thing to do as the first step, like I discussed earlier, is to spray hydrogen peroxide on the plants, mix 50-50 with water or with the Garrett juice, and then get some whole ground cornmeal into the soil. there's a new little periwinkle, and I don't know if it's the one you're growing or if it's a regular one, but the new one called the Soiree series, and there's another one called Halo, I believe, has much smaller flowers. They're about half the size of the regular vinca periwinkles, and the talk about them and the reason that I tried them myself is that they're not supposed to be very susceptible to that fungal disease. I have a little bit of it on some of the periwinkles that I have at my house. So I think all the rain that we've had is probably one of the partial culprits there. So hydrogen peroxide, whole ground cornmeal, and cornmeal juice would be what I'd recommend for you to use right away.
Okay. I guess there's no saving them if they wilted down. And
if the whole plant's already wilted down and gone, I doubt it, Mike. It's pretty hard to get it back once that stem has really, you know, folded up. It's tense. It's pretty much gone. If you plant periwinkles again, it's just like tomatoes. To avoid the early blight on tomatoes, I recommend that whole ground cornmeal be mixed into the soil or the bed preparation or the potting soil if it's in a pot, you know, when you plant the plants. A lot of people have kind of eased away from using periwinkles because of that disease. It looked like the Soiree, the smaller flowers, were going to be better, but they still have some susceptibility to it.
Yeah. Well, I've always had great luck with them before, you know, and like, you know, I've got 30 of them around a little bed, and just here and there, they're, you know, they're 6 or 8 inches apart, and this one's dying, and that one over there is dying, and this one's dying, and, you know, I thought, well, I got bad ones, so I just replaced them, and, you know, some more of them are starting to die, you know, and it just really, you know, kind of unnerving, you know. I thought, one of them deals, but.
Well, unfortunately, it's a pretty common thing, Mike. Are you using organic techniques, organic fertilizers and everything?
Yes, in my flower beds and stuff especially, you know, everything. I've got Aspoma and Azomite and everything. I've been mixing in there with it and stuff. That's the reason why. And I use the juice all the time. The Dirt Doctor juice that I get at the store, you know, from
the
Black
Garrett
Cow.
Juice. Yeah. Well, everything else probably looks good. It's just that those periwinkles, those vinca, have a little fatal flaw in them. And I think it's all the rain that we've had in the past and the humidity and that sort of thing. So just try to kick up the cornmeal juice and the whole ground cornmeal on the ground when you replant, and if it may be because of the susceptibility in the crops that are coming out of the growers this year, may be part of the problem. I've had some reports, for example, in the past when people have had periwinkles and had good luck with them, and they've had a few spots of the fungus here and there, they've allowed the periwinkles to come back the next season from seed that the flowers produce, and they had no disease in those. So it makes me think that there's something going on at the grower level there. One of the things that growers do, they use what's called growth retarders on flowers to keep them compact. And I think that there may be a relationship between the use of the growth relators and some of the weakness to the fungal diseases like you're seeing.
Yeah, okay. Well, usually I've taken that dirt out and replaced it because, you know, I've heard about this, and I guess I didn't take it all out this year and redo it and everything. But I'll try that. One more question if you got time.
Sure, sure.
I was going to start a raised garden this year with 2x12s, and I got 6 yards of a garden mix from an organic supplier. And it won't grow hardly anything. I mean, everything is just stunted. There's, you know.
Well, you probably need to use the detox formula that we've got on dirtdoctor.com. Some of the large compost companies use manure in it that has unfortunately been contaminated with herbicides. Others don't compost far enough, long enough. And they just don't grow things well, and you have to add organic fertilizer to help them along. Let me put you on hold if you had. I'll talk to you off the air real quick. I want to see who that was. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Righty, Howard, back with you. Getting my headphones all straightened out here. Let's go see what's up with Ron in Mount Pleasant, Texas, next up. Hey, Ron.
Hello, Howard. A couple questions. I've got a chive plant, and I've had it now for a year or so, and I keep trimming the what I want off the top for meals and
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to promote more top growing, where I get more shoots. I don't know what you call them. I call them stems or shoots out of the chives. And I started some shallots this year. I've not tried them before. And someone told me that you can use that same technique to promote more tops to come up out of the ground. Is that, in your experience, is that right?
I think so. I don't grow shallots much. What I grow is the elephant garlic, and I don't cut the garlic back other than the flower heads off sometimes. And I'll do both. I'll leave the flower heads on some of the plants, and some of them I'll cut the flower heads off. If you cut the flower head off, more energy goes into the foliage, which you can cut off and use, just like you do with chives. But I usually don't do it. Is yours onion chives or garlic chives?
I believe they're garlic chives. I bought them. Well, I didn't buy them. I was given them by a friend, and I can't honestly tell you if they're onion or garlic.
Well, the garlic are wider leaves. It's a leaf that's almost as wide as a St. Augustine grass blade and flat. The onion chives are round and
okay,
smaller.
Then, yeah, this must be onion, and this resembles very closely what a regular onion top would look like.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're hurting anything by cutting back. You're seeing that it grows back and works fine. The shallots will do the same thing as long as you just don't cut them back too severely where they use up all of their energy, and just can't tolerate it. So cut back some of the leaves and leave some, and let's see how it works that way.
All right. Now, I've got some 10-gallon growing pots because – I'm in a duplex. I don't have any garden area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got three varieties of tomatoes growing in there. And I don't know what happened this year. Last year, the soil I used, it was a potting mix, and I mixed compost with it. And it stayed real absorbent all summer long. In other words, it would take the water up real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason this year, and I've used the same product both years, it seems like there's a crust on top of the water or on top of the ground, and when I put water in, these pots are fiber pots, so they breathe, and I've had real good success with them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it just seems like 9/10 of the water that I try to water them with comes out through the walls of those potters or those pots, so I don't think the roots are getting as much. I don't see as good a growth, and sometimes a little wilting in the leaves. So I just got a sneaky hunch that if I maybe worked up the soil on the top and loosened it up a little bit, that might help. But I put cornmeal down on top, and I'm wondering what the result of doing something like that might be.
Well, it'll be beneficial from a disease standpoint to get. You probably have some dry pockets down in that soil is what's going on there. Which can happen if you don't get the soil moist all the way through right in the beginning. And once there's a dry pocket in the potting soil, it'll shed water like a duck's back. It'll never allow water to get in there. So here's what we need to do. I want you to get a probe of some kind, a golf club with the head sawed off. A golf club shaft is as good as anything. And stab and loosen it up. And then at the same time, we want to mix some liquid molasses together with your water or with the whole Garrett juice mixture and pour it in there and keep probing with your probe so that you can eliminate what's probably air pockets down in the potting soil.
Oh, okay. That's an idea. Okay, I think that takes care of it for today, Howard. Hey, appreciate your help. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Talk to you again. And we've got an open line for you if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. I have been experimenting with something I mentioned to you on the show a week or so ago called the Mosquito Eradicator. And some of the garden centers have it in stock out there. It's probably available. In fact, I'm sure it is available online as well. It's a real easy thing to set up and hang around. There's one There's a couple of things. Judy said she was she always reads the instructions better than I do. She said that it said not to put it real close to where people are. I'm not sure what that means. It's nothing but yeast and water is all it is. But I guess they're talking about the fact that if you space it out in the garden, these little tubes that you hang down, it's just more effective than putting it right beside where somebody is going to be sitting and using the garden. And also it seems to work better. The reports that we're getting from several users of this product, it works better if you put it out early in the season. I just put ours out, and there's a comment that when you get it out later, like I do, that maybe it would be good to double it up, which I'm going to do. But anybody that's had any experience with it out there, both Bob and I, Bob Webster and I both are interested. We're getting some reports from some people. Bob's business partner, Roberta, and her husband took it on a trip and used it on a camping trip, and I don't think it works really quickly like that. I think you have to have it out for a period of time, and the people that are doing it that way, we're getting some really interesting reports back from folks. So if any of you have already tried it and have any experience, pro or con, by all means, let us know, and we will help to continue to pass that information on to everybody. Also, I've done a better job this year of putting the BTI in the standing water that's down in the creek and the bamboo behind our house, and we've got the trap set up in the 5-gallon bucket, you know, that we're keeping stagnant on purpose and trying to attract the female mosquitoes to lay in that, and it's a trap because I keep BTI put in it. I haven't put it in there lately. I need to do that probably later today. But if you haven't tried that, it's a very inexpensive way to give you some good overall protection on the site. Jonathan's turn, Mountain View, Arkansas. Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning, Howard. How are you today?
Doing well. How about you?
Never better. So, two questions, actually. I was noticing water running down the side of my property in Mountain View. Well, the whole area of northern central Arkansas is dotted with caves.
Yeah.
And there's water on my property that it'll go down to this area and just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there is a way, like my neighbor taught me how to water witch to douse, and I'm just wondering if there's a way to find out if there's like cavities under the soil, or there's a company that comes out and does some sounding or drilling or something like that. I'd like to find out if there's a cave under me.
Well, I think you've already identified the fact that that exists. Who I would probably recommend to you is get somebody who's in the business of drilling water wells, and you might just do a search, online search, and ask some people and try to get some recommendations from some folks that have worked with some people there, and I'll bet you they can help you out with that kind of a question. But if you're in an area where there's a bunch of caves, that's probably exactly what's going on.
Does that cause any problems?
Not really, and you may have a real valuable asset there of some water that's down in those cavey areas. I'm sure the people that are in the water well drilling business could help you out with that.
Okay, good to know. And then the second question, is it possible for dogs to pick up chiggers? My rat terrier sleeps in my bed, and it seems like I get bitten up at night, or I remember it. When I wake up in the morning, I've got a bunch of bites. Could I just be walking around during the day, and they're crawling up and biting me, and I don't feel it until the morning? Or could I actually have the dog coming and picking up chiggers and, you know, bringing them into the bed?
I think there's a chance of both. I think when I let Nellie, she's worse about it than Tater is, get up with me, I'll find some little bites on me from time to time. It can be fleas. I never see any fleas on our dogs, but there can be some tiny little fleas on there that you miss. There can also be the chiggers. There can also be a little mite that's called a chicken mite that can hang out on their fur. Doing a little cleaning, a little brushing, you know, at the end of the day, they would enjoy it, and it will probably help you avoid that problem. And if you use some kind of a herb like lemon balm or something like that, horse mint, lemon balm, one of those Monarda-type products, that'll help you prevent that also.
How about BT? Can I put BT out on the property and on my dog?
Well, BT...
I'm not BT. I'm sorry. Diatomaceous earth, DE.
I don't think that the diatomaceous earth will help that much with the insects, because any moisture that comes in contact with the DE, that completely eliminates its insecticidal power. The way natural diatomaceous earth works, it's not a scratching and lacerating that controls the insect. We used to incorrectly say that, quite frankly, but it's not what happens. What happens is the DE is extremely hydroscopic. It pulls the moisture right out of the insect, and that's how it kills.
So, like all by the plug.
Yeah, so if there's any moisture that the DE got from the animal or from the garden soil or whatever, it just totally eliminates its insecticidal power. So I think it would be a waste of time and money and energy for you to do that.
And then sulfur powder around the property?
I think sulfur will help. I think that it works pretty well. The only negative about sulfur is that if you use too much, you cause a problem. Anytime you're dealing with a single element like sulfur is, that's why I think that the nitrogen-only fertilizers are so stupid to use. You know, you can create a bigger, much bigger problem than you had to start with by getting a little bit too much of those single element products out. I think you'd be better using the herbal things, like I mentioned, lemon balm and that sort of thing. The commercial product called Pure Grow, that's cinnamon and clove, I'd strongly recommend you give it a try.
Thank you very much. Covered a lot of ground.
I appreciate the call. Talk to you later. Yeah, and it's becoming available in more and more stores out there. It's available online, so give it a shot. They've got the Pure Grow Weed Crush and then also the Bug Stop and Disease Stop. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back after this. Dirt Doctor here with a summer tip on backyard storage. Regular storage sheds tend to get really hot during the summer months, which can damage your stuff and make your shed unpleasant to use. My friends at Ulrich Barnes have designed a ventilation system that keeps their sheds about 18 degrees cooler than a standard shed. Visit their building designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth and join the thousands of happy customers that have given Ulrich 5-star reviews. Call 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433, or ulrichbarnes.com.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases including Zika virus and West Nile virus, but Summit Mosquito Dunks kills mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. For more information, go to SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels, since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed. Maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Roses are one of the great landscape plants and also one of the best medicinal and culinary herbs in the world. They should be grown organically. When roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of the rose is squandered. Rose hip tea, or using rose petals in teas or salads, is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, buy and plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are usually the best choice. Planting, watering, feeding instructions can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. For disease control in general, spray roses with garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray plant oil products such as PureGrow. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in the early spring or when the foliage begins to grow. For serious disease problems, apply the sick tray treatment. And to learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
The Medina Corporation, run by the Stuart Frankie family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for years. Medina produces high-quality liquid and dry fertilizers like Medina's Organic Growing Green that has a balance of nutrients for developing healthy root systems and many other products. Whether it's landscaping, turf, trees, herbs, or vegetables, Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and protecting the environment. Medina products work beautifully and they're free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware stores, garden centers, farm stores, and other places that sell organic products. Medina, over a half a century of proven performance. For more information, go to MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. When you hear somebody hang up, give me a buzz at 866-444-3478. We're going to go to Delaware, talk to Kathy now. Hey, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Well, I have a blue spruce, a beautiful blue spruce. I think it's around 12, 15 feet high. And I've noticed the past couple of years I'm losing the needles on the inside. And, in fact, the older needles, I've noticed, are turning like a pinkish color and then falling off. I'm getting a lot of new growth, but the older needles are I'm getting concerned because of being more bare on the inside. What would cause that?
Well, a blue spruce is not supposed to have pink needles, is it, Kathy?
No.
Well, what that's indicating to you is that there's some stress going on with the tree. And one of the things that, without me even seeing the tree, you can send me some photographs of the base of it, and I can tell you for sure, but even without seeing it, what is probably causing the stress there, because blue spruce are pretty tough, is the tree is too deep in the ground. Pine trees, spruce, fir, you know, any tree, with the exception of palms, can be too deep in the ground, and it's the most common thing that I see across the country, or around the world, really, that leads to stress. And when you're seeing discolored foliage like you're seeing, it's almost always just a dead giveaway that there's some stress going on for some reason. Being too deep in the ground, the flare not being dramatically exposed is the most common reason for that. Even if that's not it, what I'd recommend that you do for your tree is apply what we call the sick tree treatment.
Okay.
And the sick tree treatment is basically to expose the flare if it's not dramatically exposed, and then aerate the root zone, physically aerate it, pull plugs, drill cores, rough it up with a turning fork, whatever you can do to aerate it, or drench the root zone area with hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store, mix 50-50 with water. Or if any of your pool supply places like we have in my part of the world here, the sell concentrated hydrogen peroxide in a 28 to 30% concentration, you can mix it like an ounce per gallon of water and drench it around the plant. It's a liquid way of aerating the soil. You know, hydrogen peroxide does an oxidizing job. That's how it helps you if you've cut your finger. You know, put hydrogen peroxide on a cut and it bubbles up and turns white. Yeah, that's what's going on there is oxidizing.
And now, there's lower branches pretty low on the ground. Do you think I should cut them back because they're laying on the ground? And maybe that's why, I don't know if that could be a problem.
That in itself is not a problem. That's what the tree likes to do, but it may be hiding the fact, in fact, I'm sure it is, that the flare is buried. So pull them back or cut them back enough to where you can get to the base of the tree and pull the soil away carefully. Try not to nick the flare as you're doing it. Doing it with hard tools to loosen it up and then using a brush or a blower to blow the excess soil away is the way to do it. I would prefer that the lower limbs are left. That's what a tree, you know, that's the natural look that tree really wants to have. So
yeah.
if you can, push them to the side, get somebody to help you with it, and hold the branches to the side so you can get in and expose the flare. And I think we're going to see that that spruce just turn around and be as healthy as it can be.
Oh, good. I hope so, because it's right in front of my house, and it's a beautiful focal point. I'd hate to lose it.
Give me some before and after pictures, okay?
I certainly will. Thank you so much for your help.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's go to Delaware, Laurel, Delaware, and talk to Barbara now. Hi, Barbara.
Hi there. I'm a fairly new listener to your show and enjoy it immensely.
Well, thank you.
I have a small tree that is called a hardy orange, and it is, I believe, cultivar flying dragon.
Okay.
It is a very interesting ornamental, if you will, because of the way the branches all are so twisty. And the problem with it is all of the leaves are curled up. They just curl up. And I looked on your website, and I was told that it was a virus, probably. And the person who told, well, the extension service who told me said, implied, give it up because there's nothing, no cure for a virus. But your website recommended hydrogen peroxide 3%, and I sprayed it quite amply with 3% hydrogen peroxide. And it looks like the new growth that came in just went gangbusters growing, and they looked fine, and I thought, yay, now they're curling. So
okay,
I
what
guess
you
I
need to do real quickly, Barbara, is the hydrogen peroxide is a tool, but it's just part of what we call the sick tree treatment. You need to look on dirtdoctor.com. It's under the word guides on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com in all capital letters, guides, G-U-I-D-E-S. And under it, it will have all the formulas and all my basic programs, including the sick tree treatment. And you need to do the entire sick tree treatment. And spraying with hydrogen peroxide is part of that, but it by itself won't cure the virus. But the entire sick tree treatment will. Does your tree have thorns on it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The leaves are not falling off. They're still on the tree. Okay. I thought they
I'm
might
gonna have
fall
to run,
off.
But that's a trifoliate orange. It's just one of them. That'll take care of it. I'll be back, everybody.